So let's take a look at Isaiah this morning. Isaiah chapter 9. And look at the first 7 verses here. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee and the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of the Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the encouragement that we find here. Lord, the blessing that you have for us. Lord, while your word does carry correction, it also has encouragement, for it is indeed based on hope. Lord, you have given us the hope in Jesus Christ, and you've given us your word which tells us about him and how to know him and how to follow and be his brothers and sisters, your children. Lord, we come before you this morning seeking to know you more, seeking to follow your will in the way we live our lives. For might we live our lives for you, Lord. May we do so in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. So, Father, we pray your peace and your presence here right now. Make your people here, each one, be encouraged and blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of the more well-known passages in Scripture. This is one of the ones when people think of the book of Isaiah. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is one of those Christmas verses that we see on greeting cards. Christmas cards. Billboards, all sorts of places we find that. What does it mean? Because of this, we're supposed to have joy. We're supposed to be rejoicing. When we look at where this passage is, in the preceding chapters, God's been telling us about how he's bringing judgment on his people because they're not following him. He's telling them how he will be moving the kingdoms of the earth as the very instruments of that. And then here we have this ray of hope. This light that says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. What a way to start. Anybody here ever feel like they've been in gloom or in distress? We all here, every one of us, have felt gloom and distress. And this starts off with, there shall be no more gloom or distress. Or for those who've been in distress. Okay, because if you're in gloomy, I guess you've been distressed. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee by the Gentiles, by the way of the Sea Jordan. The first two places are places that were well known as important places. Galilee. This was like saying, I'm going up to the Ozarks to get me some leaders. You know, say, yeah, we're, you know, people make jokes about the inbred hillbillies, and this was the type of area that Galilee was. I mean, it's kind of like making Iowa jokes. Ooh. Yes. And they're in the frontish rows, too. Not all of them. There's a couple. So, Iowegians aside, what we see here is that God's going to be taking this place that nobody knew about, really wasn't known for much, wasn't respected, and that's the place that he's going to bring honor to. And from, he's going to use that place. Small, insignificant, as the methodology for bringing hope to the whole of creation. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Okay, walking in darkness, we've talked about this. You know, we talked about the stumbling stone. Yeah, well, how come people trip on the stone? Because they can't see it. Why? Because they're in the dark. Walking a place they haven't been before. They didn't know that's where it was. You know, people walking in dark, they trip and they fall a lot. People walking in the dark, they don't know where they're going. Why? Because they can't see where they're going. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. I figured it out. But he's going to bring light where there's darkness. See, instead of being gloom and dark, light is going to come. And he's using that which was insignificant previously and not well respected as the agency of bringing that hope. And he does it, you know, through a child. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. This is what we're supposed to be rejoicing about. With the same kind of joy that men have when dividing the plunder. Or when we realize that we've defeated our arch enemy, the Midianites. Or whoever that might be. When our oppressor's rod has been broken and the yoke, that bar which keeps us entrapped. Anybody ever feel like you're entrapped or in chains or imprisoned? Maybe at work? Maybe school, family? Maybe the church? But these bindings are going to be broken. They will be shattered. And we'll be able to rejoice. As we rejoice at the harvest. I mean, Ed and Peggy got some rejoicing to do. They got lots of harvest over at their place. I mean, they got these 20-foot tall tomato plants. Okay, they're only 7.5 foot, but...
No, 10.
Some of them get 10? Okay. So my exaggeration wasn't even as much of an exaggeration. But they rejoiced in the harvest. A lot came in. They had a lot going on. We had a lot of crops. And when we have a lot, you know what we do? We say, yeah, we get excited. And God's saying, that's the joy and rejoicing that we're supposed to have. That we're going to have. Because this child has been born. Joy is actually defined as satisfaction and delight without regard for the circumstances. Okay, my circumstances may not always be good. Okay? But I am still supposed to have satisfaction and delight because the Word tells us to be joyful in all circumstances. So satisfaction and delight. Now how do I find delight? Well, it's easy to find delight in things that are enjoyable and good. I find delight in the service today and having people come up and say, hey, thank you for being pastor here. That's easy. How do I find delight when things aren't going so good? When instead of somebody telling me, hey, I appreciate you, they're coming up and saying, hey, you messed up again. It happens. But yet I'm supposed to. You're supposed to. We're supposed to. Have joy. Satisfaction and delight without regard for the circumstances. See, because we're looking to God. This was the same solution that we had last week when we were told to the law and to the testimony, go to God, spend time with Him, get to know Him. We're told here that our joy comes from God. If we look to God, we will have joy. And what we see here is that God is coming to us. Now we should indeed have joy. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom and establish and uphold him with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And this is done through the work of the church. No. This is done by people digging deep in their pockets. No. This is done by one man. No. This is done by the zeal of the Lord. It says, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So the hope of the world is meant to bring us joy. Amidst the difficulties. Look at where it's placed. We have word of destruction on one side of this. We go on to the next and we see word of more destruction and of rebuke. But in the middle, what we have here is God saying, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in darkness. I'm going to come and bring the light, and you will have joy. You will be able to rejoice and celebrate. I'm going to do this in a way that you're not going to imagine, using that which was humble to bring it about. And all that which was used to hold you down will be destroyed. It will be destined for burning with fuel for fire. This is God's word to us because of the zeal of the Lord Almighty, which will accomplish it. We can trust that it will indeed happen. It's not being accomplished by my strength, which isn't that much in the measure of all things, nor the strength of this church as a whole, which is more than mine by myself, but in the measure of the world, and it's nothing, and or even the strength of the world, which in the measure of the universe is nothing. But it is indeed the zeal of the Lord Almighty that will accomplish it. God's zeal. Do you know what zeal is? Zeal isn't just faith. It's not just commitment. It's not just love and passion. But it's all these things rolled up together and then kind of cubed so that it's just kind of like boom. A zealot was some guy who was like, if you touch on that topic, you know, we talk about this with people. Don't bring up this topic with some person. There are certain people, there are certain topics, you bring it up, there's zealots on that topic. And they will talk, and they will talk, and they will talk on it. And you don't want to bring up that topic with them unless you want to talk on it, because they will tell you about it. There are some people who are so zealous in their faith that they will give their lives for it. Now this can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. But with God it is indeed a good thing. God is got zeal for what? For us. His people. Those who've received Him as Lord and Savior. That's what He has zeal for. He has zeal for His creation. He wanted to provide a way for us to not have to suffer the consequences. Now, why do we have to suffer the consequences? Because He gave us free will. And most of us, well, quite frankly, we can't be trusted with it. We go out and we sin. Hold it, not most of us, all of us. But He did also give us salvation. He gave us the child who will be born, who will indeed be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Over here earlier, Emmanuel, God with us. This is the source of joy. This is the source that what we should be rejoicing about. Because God is going to accomplish with His zeal, the Almighty, remember, not just mostly mighty or some mighty, but the Almighty is the one who's going to accomplish it. He is going to bring joy to those who are without it, because He's going to bring light in the midst of the darkness. People, He has given us the light of the hope in Jesus Christ. So we have every reason to be filled with joy, and we can rejoice in all circumstances because God is with us, and we know how it ends. This is the hope that is laid out here in Isaiah 9. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. People, it's not our work that's being done, but God is doing the work and has asked us just to be a part of it. And He is doing this because He loves you. He loves each and every one of us. And He loves everybody out there. And it's His zeal. It's passionate. He will not be stopped. A zealot won't be stopped. They're a true believer. They cannot be swayed. They cannot be taken off course. The salvation of the world cannot be swayed. It cannot be taken off course. That should be one more thing that we're excited about and joyous about. We have every reason to be filled with joy, to be satisfied and delighted with what God is doing. So let us rejoice in what the Lord is doing here at Northbrook. Let's rejoice in what He is doing in our lives. Let us rejoice in what He is doing in this world. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. That in your zeal for Your creation, You have provided the way of salvation. That You use that which is insignificant as Your tool, Your way, Your method for showing Your glory. Lord, we pray that You would use us here, that which is insignificant. This congregation, this church, us as individuals. Use us, Lord, to do Your work here. That Your light might go out. That the darkness might indeed be lifted. That there wouldn't be gloom. But instead there would be joy in the light of the gospel message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close and we're singing.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. So good to me. I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good.
Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make face to shine upon you and give you peace. Go with God's grace.
I forgot to mention earlier, I saw Jessica yesterday. She's going to be here this evening, but ladies, if you're still interested in the ladies' retreat is next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday up at Big Sandy. I think Jessica, Peggy, Eva are going. I'm not sure who others. So if you still want to go, let Jessica or Peggy go this evening, I think. So have a great week. God bless.